This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Yeah! It's 15 minutes after 5 o'clock here in Central Virginia, 63 degrees. We're going to talk a little water this hour. Brian Wheeler joins me. He is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Joins me every Tuesday at this time to talk growth and development. And this is a very special edition of our program today because we're joined live in studio with perhaps the most frequent caller to the Brian Wheeler Hour, and that is Betty Mooney. She joins us. She's with one of the founders of Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan. And we are going to spend the rest of this hour discussing the water supply from a whole bunch of different angles. And we invite listeners to join this conversation at any time with your comments and questions at 977-1070. And Betty, let's start with you, because we understand that you made some news last night that we will break right here today.
Well, before I do that, though, I want to say that I am a huge fan of Brian Wheeler. I so admire everything Brian's done in Charlottesville Tomorrow and the information they brought to this community. And I think we are fortunate in Charlottesville to have such an incredible service that is following government in our community. So it is with a bit of sadness that I have to disagree with Brian on the stance that Charlottesville Tomorrow is taking. Not so much the stance they're taking, but Charlottesville Tomorrow has been following the water issue for a long time. And Brian personally has been involved before he even got involved with Charlottesville Tomorrow. He was involved, and I have a letter that was written in March of 2005 where he was supporting the water supply plan that we now have. And so I guess what I'd like to say is that I would like to present my viewpoint, and that I think Brian, when he presents his, will be presenting the viewpoint of people who want to build a very large dam. And my organization has come out against doing that. And so just to recap a little bit what happened last night, I was at City Council last night, and Mr. Frederick, who is the head of our water authority here in Charlottesville, gave an update of what is happening at this point. When I got involved in 2007, other people in my group had been involved for a long time. I got involved because the cost seemed so astronomical. It was $142 million at that time. And I also got involved because Ragged Mountain Natural Area is a beautiful area and it was going to be flooded. The dam was going to be built. And I also learned that our major water supply reservoir was going to be allowed to silt in. And I started looking into this. I was brought into it by Kevin Lynch, who was a former city councilor, because he was concerned that if we were going to lose city land, and the city owns all three reservoirs, they own all the land at Ragged Mountain, he was concerned that if we were going to lose that land, we needed to replace it. But as I began reading documents and learning more and more, I became more and more concerned about the cost and what the cost to city residents was going to be. So as time has gone by, a lot of people in our community know that the cost of the dam has tripled in price. It was $37 million. It's now probably over $100 million. We have new dam designers because Gannett Fleming, the firm who was going to design our dam, has been released. The reason they were released is not well known by the community. They were not released because their estimate escalated. They were released because they were asked to build a cheaper dam. We brought in some other dam experts who looked at their work and said, your work is good, but here's an idea. You could do it this way and your dam will be cheaper. And Gannett Fleming looked at what they said and they said, okay, we'll do it that way. We agree that if we did it that way, it'll be cheaper, but you know it's going to be riskier. It's going to be a riskier dam. You could have a failure. You could have leaks. Using grout might not really hold the dam together as well as our idea, which was to dig a deeper dam. So we'll do it your way, but Ravana, the water authority here in town, they said would have to take the risk on themselves. And Ravana refused to do that. So instead of going forward with Gannett Fleming, they fired him. Now they have a new group of dam designers named Schnabel, who has come forward and said, we've got some ideas to build a cheaper dam. Of course, they don't know if they can. They actually have no idea if they can build the dam at all.
And what did you say last night, Betty, at the city
council? And last night what happened was that we have, Mayor Norris has been wonderful at pursuing other alternatives. He is interested in looking at if you can repair the Ragged Mountain Dam and possibly build onto it and not even build a new dam, because he doesn't believe we need that much water. He thinks that of all the estimates that Gannett Fleming did, that Mr. Frederick wants to keep, he wants to keep the amount of water they say we need. Mayor Norris disagrees with that, and our group disagrees. So we believe we don't need to store so much water and build a new dam. So one alternative would be to build onto the dam we have and repair the spillway. There's nothing wrong with the dam.
Right.
There's a spillway that needs repaired. So we had estimates. Gannett Fleming did.
What did you say last night at the meeting, though?
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
But last night, well, I have to tell you what Mr. Frederick said. Last night, Mr. Frederick said that it would cost more money to build onto the dam we have than to build a whole new dam. And we actually have estimates. Gannett Fleming did estimates in 2002. They did updated estimates in 2005. I had have it right before me. I was reading it to come on with Brian. When I went to the meeting last night, I was shocked to hear him say that. He said Schnabel told him that to build onto the dam we had would cost more than an entirely new dam. Well, Mayor Norris was shocked, too. He kept questioning Mr. Frederick, how can this be? Gannett Fleming said it would be way less. Number one, you don't know how much a new dam. And so I asked that Mr. Frederick be fired. I was so shocked by what he was saying. I have felt that he did the same thing with the dredging estimate. When council wanted more dredging information, he told them that Gannett Fleming had said the estimate had gone up to $223 million. He never produced a document until we asked and asked and asked. He finally produced a document from Gannett Fleming. Now he's saying that Schnabel has told him that building onto the dam is going to be more expensive than $100 million for a new dam. So it's not a believable statement, and I feel he's misled us on the dredging. Now he's trying to keep information from the city council about repairing the dam. He did the same thing with the pipeline. Mayor Norris wants the cost of Sugar Hollow versus a new pipeline. For people who aren't up to speed, the plan is to build an uphill pipeline that will be run with electricity going 9.5 miles. And Mr. Frederick says a downhill pipeline and an uphill pipeline, you just compare the length. You're going to find out the comparison by length. And Mayor Norris said, no, cost.
Betty Mooney is with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply. She's live in studio. Brian Wheeler is with us as well. And Brian, what are your thoughts? Betty covered a lot of ground. We don't have to go point by point. It's not a debate. But I'm just curious your general thoughts about this issue. We've spoken about this many times. And what are your thoughts?
Well, just to start with, I think most of your listeners know, Coy, the approach Charlottesville Tomorrow has taken on this issue and any community issue for that matter. So whether it's land use, transportation, community design issue, our job, as Betty said, is to get information out to the public. And whether that's a podcast of a meeting or a summary of a meeting or now in the Daily Progress, we're pleased that the Daily Progress has felt like our content is valuable enough that they want to have it in a prominent place in the daily paper. So I think, Betty started out by saying what viewpoint I would present. And I guess I would just say I'd rather you didn't put words in my mouth. But I think that what Charlottesville Tomorrow has always said is that we don't have a position on the plan that was approved in 2006, the Norris plan, the Lynch plan, or any other alternative. Our job along the way has been to follow where all of these plans are going and what they're talking about and bring that information both to your show, Coy, and to the articles we write.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler and Betty Mooney.
Can
the phone lines are open. Just a second.
Okay,
the phone lines are open at 977-1070. If the listeners have a question or comment about the 50-year water supply plan, now is your time. It's 977-1070. Betty?
Brian has been writing a series of articles about the plan that is proposed, which is to build a huge new dam and a new pipeline versus dredging and other alternatives that we presented. And I'd just like to say, I think it's very clear from those articles what Brian Wheeler's position is. And I think he does it in a way that a lobbyist would do it. And what we look at is that he has talking points. And we've gone through the articles and we picked out his talking points, and they're the exact same talking points as Ridge Schuyler, who is the director of the Piedmont Nature Conservancy, director here in Charlottesville, the exact same things that Ridge would say over and over again. Now Brian says. Brian's boss is Michael Bills. He has funded Charlottesville Tomorrow. He's on the board of directors of the Nature Conservancy. The Nature Conservancy has invested millions of dollars in bringing this plan to Charlottesville. They wrote the plan. They did the permit. I don't have anything against them. They're a wonderful organization. They want this plan as a model for the world on how you can have better flow in rivers, but it's a conservation plan they want. And we need a water supply plan that costs, that is not so costly that it burdens our ratepayers. And that's always been my top concern, the cost.
Okay, let me get Brian a chance to respond. The conflict of interest charge against Charlottesville Tomorrow, and personally against you, more specifically, that we've heard before on this program. Your reaction to that?
Well, as you said, Betty has shared that view on the program before. So I don't think we're covering any new ground there. Betty has said she feels like we're taking a position. And, you know, I respect that opinion. I don't agree with it, but I certainly understand where she's coming from. I think, you know, in all the time that we've had those stories out there, and actually all of this year, one, Ridge Schuyler no longer works at the Nature Conservancy. Two, I haven't talked to any staff of the Nature Conservancy this year. I think Ridge was probably the last person I talked to before he left. Michael Bills has never given direction to Charlottesville Tomorrow staff about what to say with respect to the Nature Conservancy and the water supply plan. So, you know, in the absence of any evidence to the contrary, I think that's a little reckless to suggest that just because we have board members, affiliated with all sorts of things. These are community leaders, whether it's the Nature Conservancy, the Southern Environmental Law Center, Piedmont Environmental Council, Sieg Wineries, McLean Faulkner Realtors, the United Way. Those are all companies that my board members represent. But they're not really involved in the day-to-day activities and overseeing the content that I produce.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler and Betty Mooney. This is Charlottesville Right Now. We're discussing the 50-year water supply plan, and we're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for local news and weather. When we get back, your calls at 977-1070. We're talking with Brian Wheeler. He's live in studio, of course, as he is every Tuesday in this hour. We're also joined live in studio with Betty Mooney. She's with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan, and this is our Issues Forum. We'll spend this half hour focused on the 50-year water supply plan. We've got some callers waiting patiently, and let's go to Bill on line one. Bill in Charlottesville, go right ahead.
How you doing this evening?
Very good. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, good one to you, too. On this issue, and amongst others, I feel like, you know, we keep dragging our feet on this as well as other projects in the area. I have a feeling that before long, somebody's going to put forth a petition to have a name change in the area and call it Consultantsville, because those are going to be all the people that are making money around here with all the studies and everything else that we do, or Do Nothingville, because we keep dragging our feet about things. I'm going to call somebody to excavate a cistern in my backyard, because I have a feeling by the time they get through with this water, it's going to be like liquid gold. You know, this is ridiculous the way we can't get along about things, you know.
Yeah.
And argue and put forth accusations or whatever. You know, that's this, that, or the other thing. It's just we definitely need water. I mean, I've dealt with this kind of thing before through my lifetime, but, you know, if you think back a couple of years ago when everybody was really dry, it hadn't been that long ago that we had a real bad drought.
Absolutely. Bill, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. It's an excellent point. And Betty, what is your reaction?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, because I hear this from a lot of people.
Right.
I'm so frustrated. If you're going to do something, just do it. We don't need to study it again.
Right.
And a lot of folks see Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan as a group that's really, you know, thrown a wrench into the works into here the and just slowed everything down and making it so we can't move forward.
Well,
and,
I think Bill has a good point. And I think Bill would like to support, if he lived in the city, a candidate who's running named Bob Fenwick. In fact, Bob was at council last night doing a demonstration to show that we could start dredging right now and make money. He was with the Army Corps of Engineers. He has a construction business. I think Bob is someone, he's your man, Bill. If you want to get more water supply, vote for Bob. We had a plan in 2002. If we had gone through with that plan, we would have so much more water now. It was thrown out. The director was disappeared. I actually drove to Richmond to try and find Mr. Tropia, who was the former director, to talk to him and find out why was he forced out. I went to his last address. And if you're out there, Mr. Tropia, we'd love to hear from you because we know that something happened. They have been stalling getting more water in this community ever since then. They doubled our water rates. We should have a bladder on the South Fork, and we should have been dredging way back then. It was all ready to go. That plan was taken over and thrown out.
We're talking with Betty Mooney and Brian Wheeler, taking your calls at 977-1070. Sam is on the line 2 in Charlottesville. Sam, you go right ahead.
Hi there. Well, I've been following this on both sides, and my thoughts are the water plan should be called a water concept. I mean, a plan would confirm the feasibility of the proposed project, as well as stating a development cost, and neither is being supplied by RWSA. I mean, the analogy would be, say you're interested in purchasing a house, and you're told you had to sign a firm, non-binding contract to purchase, and after that, you'd be notified of the price and any structural challenges. I mean, the absolute approval of the Board of Supervisors seems to follow this concept. I mean, first of all, the dam. The proposal is to make it over double the size, the height of a four-story building. It's been discovered that the bedrock under the dam has to be replaced because it's fractured. It was also estimated that to work around this challenge would add an additional $37 million to the project. But in thinking about a way to reduce costs vis-a-vis the new engineers, one of the engineers suggested, and this is going forward, that quarrying be considered so they don't have to run the expense of trucking in material. Well, quarrying, with its attendant explosions, rock cutting, and production of massive amounts of airborne dust, is simply not acceptable to this community. And the question still remains, is it economically feasible to build this four-story-plus dam structure? And finally, the pipeline. I mean, initially it was required to be 9 miles long, but that was when it was going to run along the Western Bypass. Well, Western Bypass isn't going to happen. It's got to take a whole new circuitous route up and down, you know, hills and so on. It could end up 13, 14, maybe 15 miles. They were told by Dave Norris, that is RWSA, that they wanted to, A, see where the pipeline was going, and, B, what it would cost. Zip. I mean, that request was made months ago, and they've not, you know, done really anything about it. And alternatives. I mean, dredging, conservation, this huge water loss we have because of leaking underground pipes that need to be, you know, replaced and so on.
Sam, what's the solution?
The solution is basically to look at another option. The other option at this point would be to see if dredging is economical. There is a site which is immediate to it, a quarry. The owner of the quarry says that he would consider having the effluent put there, so that potentially is not a question. Why can't we actually do it? Now I understand that the city council was forced upon it to take their own position of spending something like, you know, $300,000, I don't know what the amount was, to actually get this bottom study done, because RWSA simply won't talk about an alternative. This is, as it's proposed right now, I mean, it's tremendously damaging, and taking out tens of thousands of trees, displacing and killing literally hundreds of animals, wiping out, you know, the water area that we've got that you know, is beneficial to these animals and birds.
Sam, thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Sam. Great call. Lots of good points. I got a question for both of you. Brian, Sam brought up dredging. What is it that Charlottesville Tomorrow, in your research, the most relevant facts about the whole dredging issue that Charlottesville Tomorrow has put forth to the public that you sort of want to underscore or highlight for the discussion?
I guess the key points, Coy, would be related to the cost of dredging and what you get out of dredging. And those were two things that were looked at in, you know, 2005, 2006. And this isn't Charlottesville Tomorrow's position. This is just the information we shared about dredging, but I think it's important to keep in mind that one of the things, the big number that was put out about the cost of dredging, it was certainly a big number. And I want to go back and say that that caller pointed out that it doesn't seem like a plan, it's more of a concept. And I agree with that. I think it's a concept without specific pricing on it. And I think, you know, Dee Dee was on the show with me on another program, and Dee Dee Smith with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan. And she agreed. You know, we're both in agreement. There are no known cost on what this final concept that will lead to a specific engineered plan will be. Nobody knows that.
Yeah.
But nobody knows the cost of alternatives either for the same reasons. So I think, you know, with dredging, it was pointed out that it would not get you enough water supply to meet the projected safe yield. So the amount of water that we were projected as a community to need 50 years from now, dredging by itself doesn't get you there. So that combined with uncertainties about cost, and you have to keep in mind, Coy, that the cost estimate for dredging, the worst case number, I don't have that right in front of me, Betty probably does, but that number that was put out was Gannett Fleming saying, worst case, we're going to have somebody buy this stuff that we take out of the reservoir. We're going to have to truck it for 50 years to land that we will have to purchase for you to put this stuff on.
Yeah.
So the worst case scenario was running trucks for 50 years, moving dirt to land you'd have to buy. And you can see why that would add up over 50 years.
Right.
What's interesting is that the...
And they weren't saying this is what's going to happen. They were saying in our study, this is the worst case scenario.
Right.
And so at the outset, this would be the greatest cost.
Now, when Gahagan and Bryant came to town by invitation of Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan, and a competing dredging company, not a competing dredging company, but a company that actually does dredging, when they came to town, they came up with the exact same number, more or less, of $30 million or thereabouts. That's what it would cost to take the stuff out of the reservoir. Then the next question is, okay, what do you do with it? So Gannett Fleming and Gahagan Bryant both were in agreement on the cost to remove sediment. And then where the estimates vary is depends what you do with it.
Yeah,
I think the thing the community needs to know was that that cost of dredging, saying that was so high, was why it was eliminated as one of the four options. And we have documents showing that. One of my complaints about Brian's articles that he's written is there are no original documents backing up his assumptions. And we have tried on our website, charlottesvillewater.info, to always back everything up with original documents. And these estimates were used to eliminate dredging from being considered as a final alternative. So that's why it's so critical that we now get an accurate estimation of what would dredging cost. And also, we now know that the Gannett Fleming number that they say how much water we need, there is a lot of controversy about that. We're using 25% less water now in the last 10 years. Gannett Fleming said in 2008 we would be using X amount of water. We're 25% below that projection.
Betty, let me ask you this. Some folks might agree with you. You know, y'all raise an interesting point, a valid point, that this is outrageously expensive. It's way more than anybody projected, and it's probably going to end up being hundreds of millions of dollars before it's all said and done years down the road. I think most people would probably agree with that, even the people who support the water supply concept here. That said, there's people that I've heard say, well, you know what? That might be the case, but this is an investment in our future. If the folks in Charlottesville had, and I want you to respond to this, if the folks in Charlottesville had said 100, 125 years ago, we're not going to spend that kind of money on the reservoir, to build a reservoir down there, and we're just not going to do that. We can't spend that much money. We wouldn't be where we are today. We wouldn't be one of the greatest right. communities in America. There's also this idea that, yeah, we might not need that much water, but what's wrong with going ahead and having a supply plan that gives us way more water than we need? We'll never have a problem again. So, and I hear that as well from a lot of people.
Well, what's wrong with that is it puts a huge upfront burden on the ratepayers. And what I'd like to do is go back to a letter that Brian Wheeler signed that addresses this point. And this was written it addresses this point.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I don't know how relevant this is.
It's very relevant. It said it makes sense to have a plan that allows for flexibility in the ongoing integrated water supply planning and management, an incremental local approach to our water supply will maintain acceptable safe yield for the nearer term. In other words, dredge first. Give yourself enough water for 30 years. Look at the demand you have decade by decade, which is required by the state. Don't put all your costs up front on the ratepayers. It's way too much money now to borrow. Even Tom Frederick says it's rate shock. He said that before the dam escalated. So we're saying, yes, you may need other things, but start with dredging because we know we can afford it. We know there's a place to put it. We know there's a market for the dredge material. It'll probably make money. And one thing in Brian's articles I have to correct is that he said that the airport, that when Gehagan Bryant came, they said the airport couldn't use the fill. We have always argued that another place to look is the airport wants to build a runway. They need dirt. The reservoir is 2 miles away. Well, Gehagan Bryant came, and in Brian's articles, he said that they said it wasn't practical. What they said was it wasn't practical to pipe the dirt to the airport. They completely agreed that you could truck the dirt to the airport. The airport is still looking for the dirt.
Actually, they say, since then, they've said they don't need the dirt.
Well,
that's what I thought.
But
yeah.
but that is not the final word. Because they may be able to find the dirt. There's still questions. Anyways, all I want to say is dredge first. Start with an incremental. Leave yourself open to flexibility, as Brian's letter said.
We're talking with Betty Mooney and Brian Wheeler. It's an issues forum on the 50-year water supply plan. And Mike is on the line in Charlottesville. Mike, thanks for your call. You go right ahead.
Yes, I have a question. Is this water authority like a public utility, like the electrical service? And the reason I ask that question is that is it guaranteed a return on its asset base like the electrical company, or is this not the case?
Well, not that's a great question.
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
I think it's different. That's a question I haven't had to address before.
So to speak, like Dominion Power would be.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
It's an authority.
It's like
it is an authority, and it's governed by a four-party agreement. This is what I know. And the city owns all the assets, and they lease the assets to the authority.
Yeah, Mike.
But it's not guaranteed a specific return on its asset base.
No,
is it?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't believe so. But a great question though.
I want to correct one number. I threw out a number that I said Gehagan and Bryant and Gannett Fleming agreed upon on the cost of dredging, and that number was $35 million in 2007 dollars. I had said $30 million, so I just wanted to be clear.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler and Betty Mooney. The phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you got a question or a comment about the 50-year water supply plan, which is, I guess it's our new Meadow Creek Parkway. It's that issue that just won't go away, and everybody is involved in paying for it, that's for sure. Brian, in all the research you've done and the writing you've done with Charlottesville Tomorrow, and of course you're not the only one that writes these articles. Sean Tubbs has written and reported on this as well, and interns with Charlottesville Tomorrow. I just want to give you an opportunity to underscore what you think are some of the most relevant things that Charlottesville Tomorrow believes the public should be keeping in mind when we have this conversation about the future of our water.
Well, I guess a couple things. The reason we need a water supply concept leading to a plan that will be fully engineered and spec'd out in cost. The reason we need that is because of the concerns about drought and concerns about population growth. So drought and population are the two driving issues that have led this community to want to put on paper some long-term plan. Right now, I think Betty's correct to point out that the demand is less than what Gannett Fleming said it's going to be. And we acknowledge that and show that trend in our reporting. And in fact, this year, it's going to be, if 2009 continues, it will be, the trend will be slightly downward. Last year, if you use 2008 data, 2003 to 2008, it's slightly upward. If you add 2009, it looks like it's going to be slightly downward. It's basically a flat line, Coy. The water demand since the last drought, since this community hit the reset button on our water use, the demand, if you put a linear line across that data, it's basically flat.
It's going up and down this line.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the overall pattern is pretty flat and well below, as Betty said, Gannett Fleming's estimates. But I think it's sort of like, the important thing is we have a plan that was approved in 2006, and people need to understand there were state and federal permits issued for that plan. We wrote a story that was in last Friday's Daily Progress that I think is very significant because it talked about a meeting that The chair of the Board of Supervisors, David Slutsky, and the mayor of Charlottesville, Dave Norris, a trip they took to Richmond in July to meet with regulators. And they went down there with the idea of gathering more information about what would happen if we made changes to the community water supply plan and what is the impact potentially on those permits. And I think the reactions they had were pretty significant. They were told...
It was quite sobering, wasn't it?
That's a quote from Dave Norris. He said it was sobering the amount of emphasis the regulators were putting on the aquatic life in the rivers. And so it's not just about our water, drinking water. Mm-hmm. It's also about the ecosystem and what regulators are willing to approve and sign off on. So Norris came back and said, you know, Brian, we could have a plan that is cheaper, is in my, you know, his point of view, better, could have higher conservation levels, all the things he's been looking for in an alternative plan. But the regulators could still say no at the end of the day because of two things, the James River spiny mussel and fish. Fish in the Ravanna River and the spiny mussel up in the Mormons. And he said he came back just shocked at how important that was going to be to them at the end of the day.
Well, and I just want to say it's important to our group, too. I mean, we've always said the Mormons and the conservation aspects of this plan are important to us, but we're saying it's the storage. It's how much water do you need to store? That's your demand. If we lower that, we can maintain the river flows that the DEQ wants, and we can store the water we need, but we don't need a big new dam to do it, and that's the point. The whole amount of water we're trying to store is wrong. We're now using less water. We're looking at a future where technology is going to allow us to use less and less water. It's happening all over the world. It's happening in our country. We're not going to water our lawns with drinking water. We're not going to flush our toilets with drinking water. We're going to have new technology in the future. So it doesn't make sense to build a whole new dam now. We should dredge, have a flexible approach, give ourselves plenty of water at a reasonable cost. We don't want to deprive the community of water. We want to give them enough water by dredging. And then we'll see. And we can look at 30 years, how much water are we saving? Are we still down 25, 30%, or are we up?
Betty, remind us of the website.
SeavilleWater.info. And please contact us if you find anything you want to correct or you have questions.
Betty Mooney is with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan, SeavilleWater.info. Brian Wheeler is with Charlottesville Tomorrow, SeavilleTomorrow.org. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.